All right. Well, how's everyone doing this morning? Amen. Amen. We're doing good. We're breathing. We have air in our lungs. We are ready. Amen. All right. Well, this morning, you know, if you haven't seen the theme yet, we're in Acts. We're in the book of Acts. We're going to be in the book of Acts. For the rest of this month, we will transition out of it to go into Advent. But if you have your Bibles, your phones, whatever you use to open the Word of God, please go to Acts 2, and we will continue on this morning. So last week, we left off with people being amazed and perplexed. Remember that? And then we also left off with people being what? Confused. Okay, a little bit off-putting and saying, you know, they're just drunk. They didn't know what to think. They didn't know how to process it. So they're just going to say, these people are just drunk. So we talked about the fact that when the Holy Spirit comes, there's two different reactions, right? People are going to maybe draw closer and have that question about, what does this mean? And others are going to be confused and maybe pull away a little bit and be like, these people are crazy. They're a little drunk. Right? And we have this thought and says, from the first moment the Spirit moved in, people reacted differently. People reacted. When some were amazed, others mocked. When some leaned in and asked, what does this mean? Others laughed it off. And that same Spirit, the same message, with two very different postures of the heart at the beginning of Acts 2. And Jesus said that this was happening. So the next slide, the parable, you know, we all remember the parable of the sower, correct? And so you can go back and read it in full detail. But I just want to say that when Jesus said this would happen, the parable of the sower, Jesus told this story of the farmer who went out and scattered seed. And it fell on four different kinds of ground. Hard ground, rocky ground, among thorns, and on good soil. Okay? We remember part of that story, right? Amen, right? That's a big one. Pretty big one in the Bible. But here's the thing. The seed did not change. Amen? The seed was the same. It was depending on what it fell onto, was depending on the outcome that that seed had. And that is what we are seeing in Acts 2. And I wanted to bridge that gap and help you guys just see it a little bit more clearly, that the Holy Spirit is moving. The seed is being scattered. The Word of God is being declared, and the crowd being divided. Because some are amazed and drawn in. Because that seed is falling onto soil that is ready to receive that message. And then some are turned away because they are not yet at a place where that seed is falling onto a heart that is willing, ready, and open. But that doesn't mean that God is not working in all of it. Amen? Because the invitation still remains that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And even when the crowd is divided, grace is still working in that crowd. And we talked about it a little bit last week, and we call this prevenient grace, okay? Where the Spirit was already in work in every heart. God was drawing people toward truth, okay, even before they believe. We said in John 6:44 last week that no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. So that is why this section is important to see, because some people might be like, well, some people are perplexed, some people are confused. That's honestly, that's fine. Because some people aren't ready. And in our life, in your life, you might be sitting there going, why is this person not listening? Why is my friend not understanding? Why is my family member not hearing? Okay? You got to understand that while we are scattering the seed and sharing the gospel message of Jesus Christ, that doesn't mean that they have been drawn to a point to be willing and ready to accept that message. But it is not our job to go out and say, you need to know this now. You need to figure this out. This is your last chance. This is that. Now, in some cases, it might be their last chance. And maybe you're there in that moment to share the gospel that one last time. And that one last time. And that's why we keep sharing. Because I don't know if when somebody walks into this church or into my environment or around me at the school pickup line or whatever, or sitting in the gym, okay? I don't know where people are, but I am going to always share the love of God. And if they leave, I might never see them again, but Lord, bless them. Lord, guide them to you. Be with them, work and stir in their heart. And I pray that one day they're ready to receive you. And that could be with someone else. That could be at a different church. But we continue scattering that seed. Amen? And so in Acts 2, we started off that the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost. The Holy Spirit indwelled into the life, into the heart of believers. God wrote his law no longer on the Ten Commandments, but on the hearts of those who believe. If you are a believer in this room, God has put the law on your heart. And the Holy Spirit is working within you, through you, to share that gospel message. Do we have the words all the time? No. That's fine. Here it does. The power of the Holy Spirit will help guide you and help lead you and help give you the courage to stand. That is what this message is titled today, The Power to Stand. And we get to see that because remember I said a few weeks ago when we started this series that we are going to walk through what the beginning of the church did so we ourselves can see the example that they have given us. Right? That's why the series is called Unashamed. Because we want to look into a church that is unashamedly, is that a word? It is now. It sounded good. I got it out. I claim it. Probably in the dictionary. I'm not going to look it up. But they are going to be unashamed in sharing that gospel. And why is that? It's because of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Amen? So we're going to start this morning because the crowd now is waiting for answers. And Acts 2 verses 14 through 21, which is what we're doing today, is so important because what we are stepping into is when Peter will stand up and explain to what the Spirit is doing. He will talk to the crowd so that those who are amazed can understand and then respond to acceptance. But also so that those who are confused can have the chance to hear truth and repent. Amen? So it is for everyone. All. That's what the Holy Spirit came to do, to break through the fact of it just being with a certain group of people or a certain culture or a certain city. That Spirit came, and remember, boom, we are now sharing it. They heard it in their language, you know, whether it was Hebrew, Greek, Persian, all these languages, they heard it, and that is the gospel being shared to them. And now this crowd, we're going to build that anticipation, right? That's why I said it last week, and hopefully some of you had that, where we stopped right when the crowd was like, what does this mean? And I asked you guys before you left last Sunday, what does this mean? Because that even just saying that, doesn't it give you a little bit of a, well, what does it mean? Like, what's going on? It's that anticipation, right? We have a crowd here that's gathered that is mocking and confused, and then those drawn in saying, what does this mean? And we have Peter. who gets to address the crowd. And if we go back, because when Peter stands up, Peter is not standing up confused. He's not standing up with, what do I say? He's not standing up in a way of like, hope I say this right. You know, I've been hearing Jesus Christ for the last couple of years. I hope I get the words correct. No, he's standing up with the power of the Holy Spirit. And if we go back to how this all began, chapter 1, because they waited in what? Unity, prayer, and scriptural, and obeying God's word, which is what brought them together. Okay, when the Holy Spirit came upon them, they were united together in prayer and obedience. And then the Spirit fell on them. You see the process here. And I said it a few weeks ago, and I'm paraphrasing myself, and I might get it wrong, but the line that I said is that some people are wanting the Pentecost experience without the obedience, prayer, and waiting in Scripture that happened in the upper room. Some people want to start in Acts 2, and they forget to become united with each other and with God in Acts 1. That makes sense? So we have this unity through the apostles now. They were brought back together, and this morning we're going to walk through Peter's response. And because the Spirit was poured out, because the Son of Man was lifted up and ascended, and the Spirit was coming to them, Jesus' death opened a door for his power to come onto all believers. And his resurrection ensured that it still flows through his people today. So let's start this morning in Acts 2, starting in verse 14. It says, then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Now I'm going to pause really quick, just because there might be, you know, who knows? Like, we can kind of role play this for a minute. Does that sound fun? People are like, what are you doing, Pastor Ian? This is crazy. But when he addressed the crowd and he says, fellow Jews, of all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. When I read that this week and the week before and going through all my commentaries and just reading it, I kind of have this like mindset. I'm just like, how did he say it? Okay? How did he address it? You know, was he more like, let me explain this to you? No, but he stood up and raised his voice. And that's a key word that I heard, key phrase that I heard. He raised his voice, probably to a big crowd, right? But to address the crowd. And he's like, let me explain this to you. Okay, it wasn't just a one-on-one like, hey, let me explain this to you. And then people started filtering up. He's like, no, let me explain this to you. Draws attention, right? That is Peter accepting the responsibility. That is Peter stepping into his role as an apostle and saying, we're going to talk about this right now. Okay, so he does that. Let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It is only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God said, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. Blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness, and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So Peter said this, okay? Peter spoke into this, and this passage shows Peter stepping into that role, letting the Holy Spirit guide him to explain to the crowd and declare the wonders of God to them, which we ourselves can take as our own example. That when we trust in God and accept Jesus Christ into our heart, we too can receive the gift, which is, first slide today, the Spirit gives power to stand. In verse 14, but Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice to address them. The Spirit will give you the power to stand. The Spirit gives courage to stand where fear once kept us silent. Because who was Peter? What did he do just a few months earlier? He denied Christ 3 times. Peter, that's what I'm saying. Peter did this 2 months ago, roughly. We do all the days. Let's just say 2 months, right? And some change. Was so scared in the moment around a few people that were saying, hey, aren't you one of Jesus' followers? No, I don't know that man. And then another, aren't you one of the disciples of Christ? No, I don't know that. And he goes through this process. I don't know him. Do not come to me. I don't want this. I don't know him. I'm scared. A few months later, being indwelled with the Holy Spirit because he believes in Christ, he now has the power to stand and address a crowd who is questioning, what does this mean? Who are saying, these people are just drunk. He has that courage now to say, hold on, let me explain this to you. So one, he's not only standing up, because let's face it, that first step is probably the hardest. He's probably like, sitting down, like, I can't do this, I'm going to fall over. He's just all, yo. Hello, everyone. And then he's addressing the crowd. That takes courage, first and foremost. But not only that, he doubles down when he raises his voice. And he says, fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. He's also sharing, like, I'm going to give you some words of wisdom here. Okay, so the Spirit gives us power to stand. The Spirit gives us courage. Remember in Acts 1:8, but you will receive the power of the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So we see right here, Peter is not standing up in his human bravery. Okay? This isn't Braveheart. Okay? This isn't Mel Gibson riding back and forth on his horse, saying whatever he said. Okay? This is Peter. Humble, old, scared, nervous Nelly Peter, who when soon as he faced some challenge, rejected and said, I don't know that man, to now standing up, he has that courage. So it's divine empowerment that Peter receives. So the Spirit gives ordinary believers supernatural strength to face the crowd, face culture, and even opposition, to share the wonders of God to everyone. So Peter stood with the 11 because the Spirit empowers individuals and unites the church. And at this beginning that Peter gives to the crowd is to help them understand what is happening and points them, excuse me, to Jesus. This is showing the love and unity that they have through that time that they spent in the upper room. Okay? That closeness. And it gives Spirit, the Spirit gives the ability, like Peter, to speak truth, which is coming from 2 Timothy 1:7. Okay? Do this. All right, so that love that we have because of Christ, we can continue to pour out to those who we are sharing it with. It gives us the ability, just like Peter, to speak truth and address the crowd that we're around with love. And is there any better way to share the gospel message of Jesus Christ than love? Because I truly believe we love someone in the way that Christ loved them, we cannot help but share the gospel. Whether it's through our words, our actions, our lifestyle, we want people to know that love. We want people to know that feeling. But this love is poured out. And we talked about it a little bit last week, this entire sanctification, okay? Which is the work that the Holy Spirit gives and cleanses the hearts of believers from sin and fills them completely with God's love. And so Peter wasn't just made brave in this moment. Through his belief in Jesus Christ and through the power of the Holy Spirit, he was made holy that moment. And the same Spirit that filled him wants to fill you and make you holy to share the gospel in love. Because when I want to share the gospel, I'm me. I'm a sinner. We know this. But it's the Holy Spirit through me giving me the words to say. Because when I'm speaking or when anybody, any of us are sharing the gospel, it's not, look what God did to me, for me. It's, no, I'm just as broken as you. But look what God has provided me. Look what God has given me. Look at God who has forgiven me. And we can share that. The 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord. So this sanctification we're seeing is instantaneous and progressive. Okay, when you accept the Lord into your heart, you're initially sanctified through him, through his power, through his Spirit. And then we have a progressive time frame, progressive, okay, where we are continually learning, being guided by the Holy Spirit, and being made holy for God. But it's not of ourselves. It is not of our own will. It's not of our own power. It is the power of the Spirit that is within us. And that same Spirit helps us today at work, at school, in our environments, in a skeptical world that we live in that is plagued. For every one wholesome video and little kitty video, or you know, someone sharing the gospel or a prayer, there's 10 times more showing destruction, confusion, and everything else. So in this skeptical world, when the Spirit fills you, that silence turns to boldness. So the Spirit will give us words to speak. In Acts 15 or 10 or 2 verses 15 through 16, because he says, "For these people are not drunk, as you suppose. It is only 9 in the morning." Okay, we have to. When we read that, we have to look back and think about it. Okay, it is the third hour of the day. Okay, in their timeline, in their calendar, how they processed it, 6 a.m. okay, is the start of their day. It's only the third hour. And in the third hour, it's time for morning prayer, okay, and temple sacrifice. So Peter, in a way, is kind of like, they're not drunk. It's only 9 in the morning. In the festival that they're in, that's a nighttime thing. So he's addressing them. They're not drunk. But he doesn't get defensive. He grounds his answer in Scripture. He points them back. And this is how we as a church must speak today, not with opinions, but with Scripture as the foundation of truth. Okay? Spirit-filled speech is always word-filled speech. It is always going to point back. The Spirit will never contradict what He inspired. So like Peter, we must root everything back in Scripture. Peter addressed the crowd, right? He got their attention through the power of the Holy Spirit. But what did he tell them? Scripture. He pointed them back to Scripture. He wasn't like, let me explain it in my way. Let me kind of go through this. No, he's like, here, this is what Scripture says from the prophet Joel. And he roots this explanation in Scripture. And then the Spirit broadens the message to show that the promise isn't limited to a few, but is for all who believe in the name of Jesus Christ. Because it says, when he is giving this, when he's going, spoken the words through the prophet Joel, and he goes to verse 17, and he says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. He's sharing, Spirit's going to go. I will show wonders in the heavens above and the signs on earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. So the Spirit equips every believer to proclaim Jesus. These last days from Christ's ascension until his return are the times that we're living in. Okay? So Joel's prophecy right here begins at Pentecost. Okay? That God's Spirit is no longer reserved for the few, but poured out to all believers. And God includes everyone in his mission to reach those around the world. And the prophecy we hear in this verse is Spirit-empowered proclamation, which is speaking truth about God, pointing people to Christ. Okay, we're not talking about predicting the future or that kind of prophecy. It just points back to Jesus. It is proclaiming Jesus Christ. And today, the Spirit gives believers that boldness to also declare God's word in truth and love. That same Spirit that drew people in Acts 2, where some were amazed and others mocked, Spirit moves. Hearts are always going to be stirred. Some draw closer, others pull away. But the word keeps going forward and always stays the same. So you don't need a title to speak truth. Just need the Spirit. Okay, you need to have faith, trust God, accept Him into your heart, have the Spirit poured on you, be empowered by the Spirit, the indwelling of the Spirit. So then Joel, he's sharing this Scripture. But I also want to point out that this Scripture, trying to figure out my words, but it's partial fulfillment, okay? Because he shares that this in the last days God will pour out his Spirit and then he will show where the Spirit is and we are going to prophesy, but we are still in that time. So he's pointing them to Scripture to say, look, he's proving that this is what's happening. But we are still in that time until before the coming of the day of the great and glorious day of our Lord. Until Christ returns, we are here to do that. We are here to share the gospel. We are here to share the message of Christ. We are here to explain and proclaim God to everyone who hears it. And then he moves on and says, so now the Spirit invites all people to respond. Because he says, I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of our Lord. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on him upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And these signs that he's showing are symbolizing God's power and judgment, showing that Joel's prophecy begins its fulfillment at Pentecost, but then now continues through the church today until it reaches full, complete fulfillment when Christ returns. So now, the goal of the Spirit is to always lead people to salvation. And the wonders and sign that we see in verses 19 and 20 point to the coming day of the Lord, but they also remind us that we are still in the days of grace. Where the Spirit is drawing people to that decision, will they call on the Lord or will they turn away? Because the same Spirit that filled Peter fills us, believe, to extend the same invitation. So our witness is never just about the power to proclaim the gospel. Spirit gives us the power to proclaim the gospel. That's not the only thing. Because what it is to give people the chance to respond. And it's about sharing a gospel that is leading people to a Father, to Lord Jesus Christ, who can save them if they accept him. So this morning I want to say, let's ask for Peter's courage to stand, to speak, and invite others, because the Spirit is still moving through us and the church today. This is someone who saw Christ, who was with Christ, who denied Jesus because of fear, to then be indwelled and filled with the Holy Spirit to have enough courage to address this crowd. And we're going to be going through this the next few weeks. He addresses the crowd, 3,000 people come to the Lord. It's through the power of the Holy Spirit. That same Spirit, everyone here needs to hear this, that same Spirit that turned Peter into this lives in you if you are a believer of Christ. That same Spirit gives you the same power to say, let's proclaim the gospel. Let's proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. Let's give people hope and share that love. That is the same Spirit. So church, understand that the church didn't grow by strategy. The church didn't grow by what program or what style can we have or what thing can we do. That's not how the church grew. The church we're seeing here grew by Spirit-led obedience, devotion to prayer, and they were grounded in Scripture. But let's be that church. I know we are, but let's proclaim it. Let's have that power to stand like Peter and invite everyone else. And I'm going to quickly, I'll invite the worship team up now. I'll make it quick. You guys will make me nervous and I'll speed up. But let's tie it in this morning, okay? So at our church, Antioch Wesleyan Church, our little humble place, our mission is to what? Love God, love people, reach the world, right? We do this through the gift of the Holy Spirit, which guides us to stand up like Peter, to speak to those around us about the love of God that we know. Love God, okay? And we experience this through the relationship we have with him, to speak truth about God to others, to share his love that we have towards us, that we are like, you need to experience this love that we have because God is amazing. And that is love people, okay? And then his love, we proclaim the gospel through the gifting of the Holy Spirit to continue to do that over and over and over again to reach the world around us. So when you read our mission or when you think about it, love God, love people, reach the world, imagine that same mission. And sometimes, I'm going to be honest, if we read that statement, if you go out in the front of our church and it says, love God, love people, reach the world, a lot of times we're going to look at that and be like, no, I don't know how to love God. I don't know this, or I don't really know how to love people, so no, I don't know how to reach the world. And with and in of ourselves, those statements are always going to be true. But when you attach the Holy Spirit to that mission, we love God, we experience His love, we love people because we're filled with the Holy Spirit who's going to share and say, you need to share this. And that's how we're going to reach the world. The Holy Spirit will guide us. So that remember that Jesus' death opened a way for power to come. His resurrection still ensures that it flows through His people today who believe. So, if you've never called on the name of Jesus, if you've never heard it in this way, that same Spirit who gave Peter courage now calls you to faith. Hear the gospel. So, as we prepare for communion in this next song and we go through that, and I pray really quick, I want to give that moment of opportunity to any of us. And I'm not talking about if you've never heard of Christ, you've never accepted Christ. Yes, if you've never accepted Christ and you're feeling that, love to talk to you, would love to pray with you. I would love for you to repeat this. But I'm also talking to the people that are maybe saying, kind of fallen away, kind of walked in a different direction, and I need to rededicate my life. Pray that same prayer. You know how many times I pray to the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me. Accept me. Come into my heart and fill me. I pray it all the time. So we're going to have that opportunity this morning during worship and as they hand out the elements of communion. But let's just pray.